This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, including my favourite, the quarter pounder with cheese. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, so the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello everybody, and welcome to episode 122 of the Stacey West podcast. I am Ben, and I'm not joined by Gaz this week because he is, to quote himself, full of cold. So instead I'm joined by Jake. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good to be back on, you know, after Gary's been a part-timer. So I think he actually mentioned when we did the Oxford preview that he tries to get people to think that I should come on more often. So maybe I should just replace Gary and he can stick to the writing. And, you know, you have to let me know how you feel on that one, Ben.
Well, we'll let the might as well let the audience decide on that one. But, you know, I wouldn't want to step on Gaz's toes.
He'd take the mick out of you. That's why, Ben.
That's very true, actually. Yeah, I did say, like, before we started recording that I'd stop until the motorcycle riding neighbour of mine stopped doing it. But he's decided to get it back out again, and has a very loud bike. So if you do hear that in the background, my apologies. It's not my fault. Anyway, yeah. How have you been doing, mate? How have you been coping without a match to get invested in over the past couple of weeks? Because Easter's normally a busy week.
Yeah, obviously we've had really good Easter weekends. The weekend that sticks out is that one when we got promoted out of the conference where we had Gateshead and Torquay. Yeah. And that was fantastic. And to compare that to like absolutely nothing this time around, but it's difficult, isn't it? I've been working. I work two jobs at the minute, so I've got plenty of stuff to be cracking on with, which is all fun and games, but. I've definitely missed the football this week, massively so. It was just good to get back in the swing of doing a preview for the game on Saturday, which is already out, which you can check out. Bit of a selfless plug there, but yeah, it's good to finally be talking about a game of football that Lincoln are going to be involved in, even though I think we're probably going to get hammered.
Yeah, I mean, I sat and watched the Peterborough Sunderland game the other day just because it was A, on telly, and B, in our division, and it was something to do on the afternoon, and I was just thinking I just want a game, like, yeah. 4 or 5 weeks ago we were all still saying I can't wait till I'm back in the stadium. Now I just want to see a game. It's just a horrible situation for the club. I mean, we discussed it on the last podcast before. We had sort of an enforced break, if you like. But it's just been such a horrible situation for everybody involved at the club. I mean, we'll sort of, I suppose we could really, discuss it. I think the problem is there's not too much to discuss around it because the club's been quite tight-lipped about it, and understandably so. There's not been too much more information that's come out about the status of the players, whether everybody's fit, whether there's been anything else this week. I think the fact that we've not had anything saying there's been more positive results come in this week is probably safe to say that we're good to go for the weekend, and we've definitely not heard anything to suggest otherwise. Obviously the training ground got shut down for 10 days. The players are self-isolating for 10 days. And I think really the silver lining to come out of it is the fact that no matter what happened on Monday and Tuesday, well, Monday because we were the only game for Tuesday night, but no matter what happened on Monday, we were going to be in the top six regardless. But it's...
by the skin of a teeth, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
I'm looking at the league table now and, you know, it doesn't really make for good reading, especially, you know, if you look at it via Google, you've got the form... of all the sort of teams that are in and around us. You know, you've got Hull won three of the last five, Posh have only won twice, but Sunderland have won three times, Portsmouth four, Blackpool four, Charlton three, Ipswich probably out of the conversation really, you know, with our games in hand, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you'd think if we could pick up 6 points against MK Dons and Charlton, you know, quite optimistic given the everything that's gone on with the football club. You'd like to think we'd be set on sort of 65, maybe 66 points, which puts us back into fourth. But, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Well, we probably would have lost both of those games, you know, given how we are at the minute. But,
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a weird situation because, like, you know, so many people were berating it and saying, oh, we should be here, we should be there, you know, given where we were 3 or 4 months ago. It's like, well, you can't expect to get the same results when you've got that many players out. Like, it's not, I know we spoke about it last week and, a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, but I think people probably just need to actually assess the situation and say, look, we are where we are. We're where we are for a reason. Like, the fact is, you know, we're sixth in the league because of we had an incredible start to the season, and it's only this, you know, poor run of form that's coincided with the, you know, fortunate issues with injuries and COVID that's basically put us on our ass for a bit.
Teams have figured us out, Ben, as well. Sorry to cut in, but teams have figured out the way we play. So even when you've got Liam Bridcutt in the team, you know, I watched, was it Accrington at home when we drew 2-2? You know, they had two men on Bridcutt almost every time. And teams have sort of figured out the way that we play and the way we like to play, you know, getting it out to Brennan, and they're doubling up on him. And, you know, a lot, you know, you watch the Oxford game, every time Morgan Rodgers touched the ball, he had about four or five Oxford players straight around him. So I think it's not just us being extremely poor and unlucky with injuries, but you've got to sort of realise that teams have figured out the way that we like to play, and, you know, that got us so many points in the first half of the season. Teams have probably figured out a way to play against it, and that's probably why we're struggling a little bit at the moment.
I think probably one of the things that I'd sort of counter that with is that, you know, Michael doesn't stick to, you know, rigidly plan A and there's nothing else. I mean, we have seen him change the shape, we have seen, you know, other pastures of play coming in, and it's like, well, again, you kind of have to work with what you've got, and unfortunately you can't put a game plan together and then have everybody, you know, stick to that. As much as we've praised him for picking the system and then putting the players into that and having sort of, you know, interchangeable parts, you can't have the consistency that's needed at the moment with everything else that's going on. And it's it's just been a really frustrating time. I mean, obviously we spoke about the last games a couple of weeks ago, but we might as well get on to the weekend and discuss Blackpool, who are aside from Sunderland, they are the form team in the league at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, and well, also Portsmouth as well under Danny and Nicky, which we sort of all probably saw coming as well. But
it's almost like they're good managers.
Yeah, you know, you watch Huddersfield get battered 7-0 by Norwich, and you sort of think, well, you brought it on yourself, lads. Do you know what I mean? But in terms of Blackpool, I mean, wow. Since what, February, the start of February, I think, when I spoke to Lee and Jane, they sort of said it's literally all transformed. All the players that they purchased in the summer window and in the January window have all sort of clicked, you know, especially Jerry Yates, scored bags of goals at Swindon last year, and now all of a sudden, from not scoring in his first 7 or 11 games, maybe, I think it was, he's scored in every single game since you know, he scored about 8 or 9 in a row. So yeah, it's going to be difficult on Saturday, that's for sure. I'm quite scared, Ben. I need to be held.
Well, we can't do that at the moment due to social distancing. But
damn it.
But yeah, it's a worrying prospect. I mean, obviously, the benefits, if you like, are that we have had an extended rest period. But you then have to think, well, how much is that actually going to do for the players, given the situation that's, you know, forced that break? I'm not confident about the weekend. There is a slight degree of, you know, there's a slight optimism there. You know, I want to try and be as positive as I can be going into the game, because it's the first game we've seen in, you know, 2.5 weeks, but or just under 2 weeks, sorry. But like, yeah, it's a worrying prospect when you consider that, you know, they're the team, you know, that every season we say there will be one team that makes a massive push from January and they just kind of find themselves steamrolling themselves into the playoffs. And Blackpool look like they're that team this season. They've come from pretty much nowhere and are now, you know, basically level with us. And I just think it's,
If you read the table, Ben, they're technically above us.
You know what I mean.
But if you look at Blackpool in terms of every time they get promoted, this is exactly what they do. They never go up automatically. I was told this by Lee. Blackpool always sort of have a really slow start, and then sort of around Christmas, just after Christmas, they really hit form. I can't even get my words out now. he said it when they got to the Premier League, the season they got to the Premier League, when they had like Erds and Jilks and players like that. That's exactly how they got promoted. They were mid-table pretty much all the first half of the season. You know, probably with about 30 games played, they'd pulled up no trees, and then all of a sudden they won 10 straight games and they're finishing the playoffs. Obviously, the playoffs momentum is such a huge thing. Like, obviously, every time it appears that we go into the playoffs, we've got no momentum, which means we're probably going to finish in the playoff spot this season. But, you know, you look at Blackpool, you look at the teams in there, you're thinking Portsmouth and Blackpool are probably the teams that are probably going to be playing it out in the final if we can't get our act together.
Excuse me.
Oh dear, yeah. COVID alert. Oh dear.
No, I just had a swig of water and it went down the wrong way. Always fun. I mean, like you say, you know, you've got the likes of Jerry Yates, who's, I think he's got, he must be pushing for 20 goals in the league by now. Yeah. If he's not there already, you know, he's that kind of player that obviously a lot of Lincoln fans are, you know, screaming to buy every season. But, I mean, I honestly just can't see much coming out of the weekend. Like I said, even though I'm trying to stay optimistic, I just think if we take a point, that's going to be a huge point. You know, I don't like the 6-pointer term. I think sometimes it can be used, you know, for anything. But when you consider, you know, there is just one point between us, if we can take that 3 points from over the weekend, that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is that I'm personally struggling to find much in terms of a preview for even ourselves, because we haven't seen the players for, you know, a good couple of weeks now, and it's like we've not really seen anything in terms of who's going to be fit, who's going to be injured, who's going to be, you know, the bench. I mean, Liam Bridcutt was, I think his injury was a calf injury. So we don't know where he is at the moment. I mean, a lot depends on the press conference, which is obviously going to be out by the time this goes out. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you see us lining up first off? Do we think everybody that was, you know, Do we expect to see anybody back from injury, I guess?
I mean, I would guess probably not. George, I think there was some... I suppose, was it Ellis Chapman's dad on Twitter sort of said that George is back out on the grass. I don't know if that's okay. Right, but he could potentially sort of feature towards the back end of the season. You know, we have those two games called off, so potentially, you know, you're thinking that George could be then involved in two or three games and then potentially the playoffs, which would be, you know, if we get the likes of Hops, George, Joe Walsh and a fit being Bridcut back for the playoffs, you wouldn't really back against us in terms of games against the teams in the top six at the minute. But in terms of how I think we're going to line up, obviously Palmer will have to stay in goal because I'm sure we're going to talk about Sam Long later. I don't think you throw him in through a game like this, especially when Palmer's played so well. Jackson and Montemar at the back. I mean, I was really sort of worried towards the start of the season about Jackson, and you know, he made quite a few mistakes in a few games, but you know, Gary's been really impressive with him. A lot of people that I sort of follow are really impressed with him. I still feel like he has a little bit of a mistake in him, as does Lewis. You know, you saw for the game against Shrewsbury at home where he played it straight to the centre forward, and he's done that quite a few times, which is probably why I don't think we'll lose him in the summer, because he's not the finished article. And then, you know, above that, it could literally be anything, because we don't know who's... You know, if we've got any, well, I assume we've probably not tested positive for COVID any further, but then, you know, that sort of brings in the likes of Bridcut, Morton, you know, potentially even Jackson if he's back. But maybe it's a game where we throw Sean Roman back into the team, because I was really impressed with him at the start of the season. I don't know how you felt about him, but I think he's a player that definitely, you know, if you throw him into a game like this, it's going to sort of shape him for next season rather than just, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I just wonder if there's I just wonder if there's that kind of discussion being had about, is this the point at which we start to prep for next season? And yeah. You know, behind the scenes, I'm wondering if there's any of those conversations going on. I mean, obviously they'd never come out and say that in a press conference and, you know, say, well, you know, we gave it a good run this season, obviously they're going to fight for every point they can get. But I see what you mean. And yeah, I mean, I was really, really impressed with Sean Rowan at the start of the season. He looked really, really impressive, and you know, played beyond his years by a long way. I think there was a few points where I was just thinking, how is this lad as young as he is? He looked really assured. And I think Michael was when Michael took him out of the team, I think the way that he explained that, I can't remember what point it was, but it wasn't too long ago, he had a conversation in an interview, and he said, you know, the reason I took him out of the team wasn't to, you know, chastise him, but it was kind of to protect him a little bit from some of the stuff that's, you know, being said, and, you know, too much expectation being put on his shoulders and that sort of stuff. I'd like to see him come back in, but I will say, I think Cohen Bramall's been, you know, he's been more, he's been growing into his position a lot more in the games that, you know, we had before this sort of extended break.
Really good at Oxford, really good at Oxford, I thought. Like probably besides Morgan, you know, you look at Bramall and Morgan down that left-hand side, Oxford couldn't deal with him, especially in the first half. And then in the second half, he kept making those sort of runs towards the corner flag, but everyone was sort of going over to the right hand side, you know, where the likes of Brennan Johnson, but Scully was, and those sort of positions. And Bramall was open quite a lot. I think they actually picked it up on Sky in the commentary where they were actually speaking about us for once. I've already heard about your thoughts on the Sky debacle, but. Yeah, really impressed with Bramall. I think he'll be a really good sort of prospect next season. You know, you think of Tom Pett when he sort of arrived at the football club, and he was sort of patchy in that first 6 months or so. But then after that, the season we got promoted, he was unbelievable, I thought. So we're sort of hoping for the same sort of effect for Cohen.
Yeah, totally. The thing for me is you look back to, I think it was the Ipswich commentary, and they were full of praise for Cohen Bramall then. You know, they were again picking up that interplay between him and Rodgers. I think Rodgers is another one of those players that before he started getting a goal every other game or whatever, people were very unfairly criticizing him, you know, in some circles. And it's like, well, all he's got to do is answer with his feet, and he has done so really impressively. I just think that I don't know, it's so hard to kind of guess what the team's going to be or how we're going to be given that we've not seen it for 2 weeks. I'm fearful, but I'm slightly optimistic in that, you know, the guys have had a break. I think that hopefully they'll be raring to go and then, you know, be as many people back to fitness as possible. I don't know what the situation with Walsh is. I don't know how many more weeks he's due to be out for, but he must be closing in on something by now, surely.
You'd hope so.
Yeah.
It's massive for us. Yeah. Absolutely massive.
Yeah, 100%. But it is, of course, good news. And again, I can't remember if this is what was discussed on the last podcast or not, because it was a while ago. But I think we recorded at that point where we said, you know, that he just signed his new long-term deal. So, delighted that he's staying at the club. That's kind of where we are with Blackpool.
Can I just say before we go on, Ben, there's a stat about Jerry Yates that I've just found on the official Blackpool website on the player profile.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Yates has had 21 shots on target this season, right? He's scored 18 of them. Not to scare and not to, like, you know, give anybody nightmares, but I will not be sleeping Friday night knowing that that's all. But they've all been scored in the penalty box. If we can sort of usher him away from that sort of area, then we're all good, because he doesn't score from outside the box. But yeah, knowing us, he'll score a 50-yard banger, and But yeah,
I mean, that is one thing that I'd noticed before, before this little break, that I think teams were starting to take more and more pot shots from distance, and trying to kind of unseat Alex Palmer or just catch him unsighted, because it was. There was a few goals like that. I think it was it the Accrington game, or was it the, I can't remember which game it was. It was a long shot from distance. Yeah, it was. It was Accrington. Long shot from distance, from kind of behind, you know, kind of behind a defender, that caught Alex Palmer at just the wrong angle, I think, and went in. And it's like, it's not the first time it's happened. So I'm wondering if that's something that, you know, could possibly play into our hands if we can keep the supply to Yates quite low. We'll have to see, but it's just like you say, I'm not expecting huge things from the weekend, but yeah, I'm just going to be glad to see a game of football again.
Are we going to go for a score prediction? Are we going to be brave, or are we sitting on the fence like Gaz normally does?
I will say honours even. I think we'll get it'll be a 1-1 draw.
Okay. I suppose I'm gonna have to be positive. I think we're probably gonna beat them. Yeah, if we can keep Jerry Yates out of the penalty area, then I don't, you know, you look at the first game of the first time we played them. Yeah, we were really good that day. And with Brennan Johnson, you know, got two penalties, you know, you're sort of hoping he can do something sort of similar. I mean, not that we're going to score it, because we don't seem to score pens, but I'm going to be positive for once in my life. I'm saying we're going to beat them by 2-0. I mean, 6-0 to Blackpool, and you know, all the memes come back to haunt me, but yeah, I think we might just do them.
Okay. I'd love to be proven wrong. You know, I'd love us to come back from this little break and, like, completely refreshed, have a couple of surprise names on the team sheet and think, right, here we go, you know, we're up for this today, and come away with 3 points. But it just seems that at the moment every game seems to be that little bit more crucial than the last. I mean, obviously we mentioned there about how Portsmouth are flying, and it's crazy to see them, you know, jumping up the way that they have done quite quickly. What other games are there at the weekend? Because I'm just trying to think now. We've got
I'll have a look for you.
Swindon, Peterborough, Sunderland, Charlton, Portsmouth, Burton, Plymouth, Hull, Northampton, Bristol, Ipswich, MK Dons, Gillingham, Shrewsbury, Fleetwood, Rochdale, Doncaster, Wigan, Crewe, Oxford, Accrington, Wimbledon, and then...
I mean, you'd like to think that Sunderland are going to beat Charlton, wouldn't you? So that that sort of cushion between us and them sort of stays. But obviously, you know, points are what we're after. So we don't want to have to rely on Sunderland to beat them, because then Sunderland get further away, don't they? So it's a bit of a catch-22. You'd probably want Sunderland to win that, because I don't think we're going to catch them. But yeah, I suppose you have to focus on ourselves. Don't we?
I mean, I think at the minute the key thing is that everything's still in our hands. You know, it's not, we're not relying on another team to do well, or, you know, for another team to do badly. You know, we are, the destiny for the club for this season is our, you know, it is ours at the minute. So we, you know, we just got to hope that we can put in the performances week in, week out, and do well. So, I think that's probably good enough to wrap up with Blackpool for the minute. Obviously, like I said, we will, I think, you know, so the MK Dons game has been rearranged for next Tuesday, but we're not really going to take a look at that now, primarily because we need to see how Saturday plays out first off. I mean, it's hard enough to, you know, preview one game when we've not seen anything for a few weeks, but to look at two games, you're like, yeah, maybe not.
No.
So other news from the club over the past week or so, big bit really is that Sean Long
plays at Cheltenham.
Yes, I know. Why did I say so? Sean Long, Sam Long. There we go.
Yeah, guys, I can see why you're getting close to your tether now.
Sam Long, sorry, it's been a long day. Sam Long has been picked up for the England. Is it like a goalkeeper training camp sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah, I think it's at St George's Park, isn't it?
Yeah, so he's been picked to go over there and you know, sort of help hone his skills a little bit more. Really, really exciting to see that. You know, obviously Sam is a young keeper. He's been in and around the first team, signed his first professional contract this season, and it's huge for him to be able to get that opportunity, I think. And it's a bit of a feather in the cap for the club, I think, as well, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, we've got players that play internationally at youth level. You know, you've got Sean Rowan at Ireland. Anthony Scully's played Ireland under 21s. There's a lad that, does he play? Did he go to the Young African? Kenya, was it Kenya or somewhere like that? He played in the under 20s African Cup of Nations or something like that in the last couple of months. You know, obviously with the relationship we've sort of got with Jez George and sending them to Irish players and things like that, we're sort of getting a lot better at having better younger players, because when I first started supporting the club, there wasn't many, probably bar Leif Recklington, I can really vividly remember coming from the youth team and actually playing quite a few games in the senior team, especially over sort of the conference period. You'd probably say Ellis Chapman was the biggest one out of that bunch potentially, but it's a good, really good for Sam. Obviously Appleton rates Sam highly, you know, you can sort of tell that by the way he's sent Ethan Ross out on loan and reinstated Sam as a number two. And, you know, Gary did a piece with Alex Palmer the other day, and Alex spoke really, really highly of Sam Long and the ability that he's got. So, you know, potentially if we can't get Palms back next season, which is probably highly likely, at the minute it's between Sam and Ross to, you know, to play games next season. And, you know, if Sam's got the ability to be called up to an England squad, you know, potentially, you know, you've got to play him, haven't you? Because the kid's got ability. Was it Crystal Palace before we came to Lincoln? I think that's where he's come from.
I believe so, yes.
Gary would know that, obviously.
yeah, he would.
But so clearly he's got bags of potential, and it's just sort of another step on his development, which, you know, hopefully the club in the long term will be able to cash in on.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's the new model, isn't it? That's what's been spoken about quite a lot already. If we can bring in a young player and develop them, and then, you know, hopefully a few years down the line, he'll be a sellable asset, I guess. But, you know, while he's getting to that point, he will be a Lincoln City player. And hopefully, you know, it sounds like he's going to be quite a key one going forward. So hopefully, you know, Sam does incredibly well there. And hones his skills a little bit more, I think, becomes more of a polished keeper. Congratulations to him for that.
Absolutely.
But I think, as we said, not a huge amount coming out of the club, other than, the initial confirmation of it. And then, you look on the club website, there's not too much news. I think there was an interview with David Kerslake, which was quite a good read.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, he's been quite quiet since he's, come in, but it's good to see his point of view. So give that a read if you haven't already. I know Gaz had a chat with him as well. So it's all sort of all quiet on the Western Front at the moment. So I think
not much going on. That's just sums the way the world up is at the minute, Ben, isn't it? There's not a lot going on. We have to sort of wait. I mean, one thing that I know, it's not massively Lincoln City related, but there's only going to be 22,500 supporters at the England Euros group games. So, okay. And those games fall after the end of the supposed restrictions, if that makes sense. So it falls after the 21st of June. So I don't know, that I thought that might be something that, that potentially could impact us returning to Sinsel Bank and what sort of numbers that it could be for next season, if that's what they're sort of touting it at that sort of stage in June, potentially, or the playoffs. You never know, do you really?
No. I was thinking about the playoffs, and obviously that comes in after the initial restrictions get lifted.
Yeah.
My thought was that, downside is it will be the playoffs as opposed to automatics if we do get there. The plus side is there will be a finite, very, very slim chance that we may be able to see some football in the flesh this season.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of, it's highly unlikely, but it's something to hopefully shoot for. I think we discussed it a little bit. I said this might be a shorter podcast, pretty much due to the fact there's not been a huge amount going on. But you brought up the fact before we started recording that it is 3 years to the day since the Wembley appearance.
Yeah, I thought it might be something to especially to look back on. It was a really good memory. I can remember the day quite vividly. Set off really early in the morning. I wasn't one of those that got to travel down. Took my ex-girlfriend at the time down to Wembley.
She was your ex at the time, or
oh no, she's my ex. Sorry, yeah. I've not had many, so she was my ex. She's my ex girlfriend now. Sorry, my girlfriend at the time. She was a massive Derby County fan. Obviously, she came to a few games. She came to the game against Chelsea in the semi final as well. She sort of said, well, now they've got to the final, we have to go, even though I've not been to any of the games previous in the competition, by the Chelsea one. So. It was a really good day, wasn't it? Got nice food, really expensive Wembley hot dogs. And to make it even better, we beat a team that were a lot better than us on paper, because, you remember that Shrewsbury team, they were third in League One at the time, and we were sort of hanging around the edge of the playoffs in League Two. And I don't think anybody really gave us a chance, but... Elliot Whitehouse, the man with the short sleeves and gloves, sort of pulled a right little worldie out of the bag, and we've got 100% record. So if we go back there this summer, you'd like to think that we'd like to continue that record. But if it's against Portsmouth, then we've got absolutely no chance.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think the thing that. Kind of makes me think that would be really nice to happen if we do get there. We have a 0% playoff record and a 100% Wembley record, so one of them has to be broken.
Absolutely. Well, it, as much as we love Danny and Nicky, it would be so nice to beat them at Wembley. I completely idolise them, and there's a Portsmouth fan that comes into my co-op at work, and he's a Portsmouth fan, and he goes, he talks about Danny Nicky so bloody highly, and I get sick of it. And that's what we used to sound like when Danny and Nicky were our managers. That's exactly how we sounded. So you sort of think, was I actually like that? And
we absolutely were.
It would just be really good to get one, you know, because I listened to that Danny interview he did shortly after we left the club, after that game at Wickham, wasn't it, that we got beat by Joe Jacobs from a hat trick of set pieces.
Think so, yeah.
And that's the day where he left, the day after that, and I listened to the interview and I thought, okay, you're not quite the god that we all thought you were. So yeah, it would be really nice to. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still really love Danny and Nicky and all the work. You know, I think they're still at Lincoln. They're still up this way, aren't they? They might not be anymore because of the move and stuff like that. But you know, in terms of the history of the club and you know, management teams, they're certainly up there. But it would be really nice to beat them at Wembley.
I'd
love you, Danny. By the way, I just want to.
I'd love to just, you know, be a supporter of the club when we have a successful playoff run. I think that's it for me.
Oh yeah.
You know, having two trips to Cardiff,
yeah,
and just having no joy whatsoever, and it feeling like the longest coach ride ever. it was just horrendous. But I mean, the trip to, you know, to Wembley 3 years ago was just phenomenal. You know, the weather was awful, but I had a really good time. Like, just the kind of all of the camaraderie and stuff before the game. You know, was it the Green Man?
I wasn't drinking that day, mate. I was a non-alcoholic student.
Oh, mate, I thought you'd say you were the Desi driver for a second.
No, I got my dad to drive down.
But it was, you know, we all went to the I think it was the Green Man pub, and that was our allocated pub for the day. So getting down there and just kind of taking over entirely. It was this massive marquee in the beer garden, and having a few beers there with loads of people I was fairly regular with going to the games, some people I hadn't seen for years,
yeah,
and everybody just having a really good time, plenty of booze, and then someone set off a smoke bomb in the marquee, which just kind of summed up the day, to be honest. It was just absolute chaos, and
yeah,
I had a really good time. I think the only black mark on it is, you know, is that is the moment with Reedy when he nailed their keeper. And I think a lot of us gave him the benefit of the doubt. But as Gaz said, yeah, the other week, he said since that, no, I did go for him. So
yeah, I defended him on Twitter, Ben. I remember going to, I was tweeting, I got in a right little argument with a Shrewsbury fan. They were saying how Lincoln were kicking and doing what Steve Evans sort of teams do. And I was defending them on Twitter, and obviously all my university mates saw all that, and they were sort of like, Jake, you are absolutely off your rocket defending him. And then I watched it back when I got back to my house, and I thought, yeah, I shouldn't have defended. But yeah, you can't go to, you know, your mates that all support different clubs and not support, you know, vocally support the player. So I was like, yeah, well, football's a contact sport, lads. You know, you just have to get over it these days. And
I mean, there's a contact sport, and then there's like WWE.
Yeah, or like, GBH.
Like WrestleMania's, yeah, this weekend, but come on, that would be banned.
Oh, it was brilliant. I mean, from where I was, sort of quite high up, it didn't look that bad from where I was. But did they put it on the big screen?
I don't think they put it on the big screen. I know that we saw it. I think when the keeper was down, I think there was a lot of, you know, a few of us around us were all on our phones sort of trying to see why he was down, if there was any footage, yeah, of it. And basically when we saw the footage sort of do the rounds on Twitter, I think everyone just sort of went,
yeah, oh. Because it was quite a famous goalkeeper, wasn't he? It's Dean Henderson, wasn't it? He's at Man United now. He's meant to be going to the Euros in the summer. So I think he had something to say about it as well on social media afterwards, because obviously he had ties with Grimsby, didn't he? He was on loan there with Grimsby, so he obviously, yeah, had words to say about it. But no, it was all in all, it was an absolutely fantastic day. You know, if we had lost, you know, we wouldn't really care, would we? But you know, no, now we've got a 100% record at Wembley. It sort of gives us a bit more confidence for maybe, hopefully, the lottery at the end of the year.
Well, hopefully so. I mean, we'll see what happens with it. Like I said, apologies for it being a slightly truncated podcast this week, but we don't really know what to preview, given the fact that everything's been a bit quiet. So you've got this, I guess.
I think they should be delighted. At least they've got a podcast.
That's very true. I mean, we didn't have one last week, and it was kind of unannounced, but I think it was sort of presumed.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't a game. We'd sort of exhausted the two previous games the week prior, and we didn't really have time to put out for questions. I think by the point we decided, when we needed to put a lid on it last week. But
just watch the game be called off now, Ben. And then we've just sat here for 50 minutes and, yeah.
If it's called off, I think I'm just going to cry. Yeah. Like, I just want some football. Plus, also, when would we play the game if it's called off? Like,
literally,
would we have to go Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday in one week? Because
I was in Blackpool along with Doncaster and Shrewsbury have played the least amount of games in the division, so we'd have quite a bit of making up to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take its toll, but hopefully, like you said, hopefully we can get a few players back and start to. Start to put the pieces back together of the season, because it really does feel like it's kind of grinding to a halt a little bit, which is unfortunate because, we're in the best position we will, this will be the highest position that we finish in my lifetime and possibly in my lifetime.
Definitely in mine, but definitely feel old.
Definitely in the in the years I've been supporting Lincoln, it's the highest we'll have ever finished. And to feel this deflated about that about that prospect kind of shows you how far we've come this season and why really we shouldn't be that disappointed in it all. So I think that's probably a good spot to end it. So I think really we need to say keep the faith and up the imps, I guess.
Up the imps, Ben. That's right.
So 90th minute, and all your mates around watching the imps on iFollow. You've got your McNugget share boxes on the go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, but then you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.